Everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of Poppin' Off about pop culture. I'm your host Maggie, and we don't have Steven today. I am doing a solo ep kind of on the fly. You know, Steven is honk-shooing away, counting sheep, dreaming of whatever. At least that's what I'm assuming. But you know what? It's okay. That man works real hard. He's got to get his rest. You know, he's a doctor. So it'll be okay. This episode is not going to be anything crazy anyways. I mean, we did have some things happen in pop culture, but it's not going to be anything that's like I'm going to dive super duper deep into. Well, I don't know. We'll see where the episode takes us. Who knows? But I just want to get the hard thing out of the way first. And I just want to say it point blank. Fuck Ashton Kutcher and fuck Mila Kunis. Fuck them, fuck them, fuck them. If you don't know what's going on, I mean, last week me and Steven did mention that Danny Masterson got sentenced to 30 years in prison for multiple counts of rape. And it came out that Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis both wrote letters to the judge in his favor saying that he's a great role model. He's lived a drug-free lifestyle. So, you know, for some reason that makes him an angel sent from God. I don't know. They've been friends for 25 years. He's an outstanding person. He has a daughter. Like, who knows where she's going to be without him. Just, like, praising this man. And then they post the emptiest video. It's not even, like, an apology video. It's just, like, them pretty much doubling down on their words. It is so empty, it is so bleak, it is so disingenuous that it makes my skin crawl. Ashton Kutcher sounds like he doesn't give a shit. Mila Kunis sounds like she's reading from cue cards. It is like, ugh, it's just nasty to me. And basically, yeah, like they're just doubling down on their words, saying, oh, like, you know, we do believe the victims. We do. We're glad they got justice. But like, you know, this is our friend. And we just wanted the judge to like maybe see a different side of him. I have news for you. The person that you thought you knew, that you thought you were friends with, does not exist. And I understand that is a hard, hard pill to swallow, especially in this kind of circumstance where someone that you were so close to did something so heinous to multiple people. But that is something for you to grieve and for you to work out on your own. And the fact that it's that they publicly, well, okay, I mean, court records are public. You know, they didn't like post these letters themselves on their accounts or anything, but that they did this on their own accord and then doubled down on it is just unbelievable to me. And it's even more unbelievable because Ashton Kutcher, as we all know, he's taken kind of like a back seat in the past like decade or so from acting and doing different kinds of TV appearances. And that's because he's dedicated a lot of his time to helping victims of rape, sexual abuse, child sex trafficking, adult sex trafficking. Like, he has dedicated his life pretty much to this cause. And for him to turn around and basically say, fuck you, to the victims, to the people that he's helped over the years, to pretty much anyone who's been a victim of sexual assault, rape, you know, whatever. I'm at a loss. I'm really at a loss. And I, like, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher have been like one of my favorite Hollywood couples for a very long time. I love that 70s show. I love that they were able to rekindle their romance, or not even rekindle, like start a romance after so many years of the show being off air, and they have two kids together, and it was kind of like the perfect fairy tale. But time and time again, I'm reminded that fairy tales don't exist, the perfect couple doesn't exist, and it crushes me every time. I gotta be honest, I never learn. I really never learn. But yeah, I am just, I don't know, guys. It's really, really sad. It really is. And I hope Danny Masterson rots. I hope that Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher just really just shut the fuck up. Honestly. Because I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. I just want to get that out of the way and share my feelings about it, because I am just so utterly disappointed, utterly disgusted. It's just not a good look, really, quite frankly. But you know what? Let's move on to something that is on everyone's minds. And that is Olivia Rodrigo's sophomore album, Guts. Now, I'll tell you what. I loved the singles. I love Bad Idea, Right? I love Vampire. Oh, don't even get me started. Amazing. Amazing work. But at the same time, for some reason, I was like, I just don't think that this album is going to have the same effect on not only myself, but like just the public in general that Sour did, just because, I mean, leading up to Sour, it was the Joshua Bassett and Sabrina Carpenter of it all. It was, you know, the royalties that she had to give to different artists because they felt like some of her songs sounded very similar to theirs. And it was this teenage girl that was writing these like very intricate, heartfelt, heartbreaking songs. It was a lot of buildup. And the second album didn't have quite as much buildup. But when I tell you, this album, I love it. I really, really love it. I can't decide if I like Sour or Guts more. Right now, it's about dead even. That could change, you know, at the drop of a hat, like a lot of my opinions do. But right now, it is dead even. And I know that, like, when the track list was revealed, I did roast it because I hated the titles of the songs. And one of the ones I hated the most was All American Bitch. And that is my favorite song on the album. It's the opener. It is so good. It is so America Ferrera giving her monologue in the Barbie movie core, if you could follow that. It's just like so dynamic. She's just saying like she, it's like what every woman feels when like you just have so much going on inside, but you have to like portray this image that you're perfect and you're cute and you're grateful all the time. That is like how she starts the outro of the song. And it just like when she goes from like screaming and then to like that, I'm so grateful all the time thing. Like it is just, oh, she is so real for that, you guys. She is so real for that. I'm like, this girl, when she was writing the album, was only 19, going on 20. It is, you know, me as a 24-year-old woman, I can't, like, directly relate to a lot of the things that she's talking about, you know, just like being a teenager and growing up and like figuring yourself out. Like, I can relate to figuring myself out and, you know, growing up, but I can't really relate to like the teenage aspect of it anymore. Like, I can like remember how I felt, you know, it wasn't that long ago, how I felt when I was 18, 19 years old. But it is just, it's a masterpiece. I mean, I'll be honest, it's really, really good. The only songs I'm like not super crazy about are Lacey and Get Him Back. Even though Get Him Back is kind of growing on me, I really like the chorus. I'm just not too keen on the verses. But yeah, Lacey, yikes. I don't know. That one shit on me. The cut, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what she was thinking, what her team was thinking. But every other song is a fucking hit. Oh, wait, let's talk about The Grudge. Okay, so I know that a while ago we did discuss the theory that Vampire is actually about Taylor Swift. But that also, I mean, like, I didn't believe it. It was just kind of like a fun theory to explore, just like how people like were coming up with like all this evidence and like theorizing it and all these things. It was just like a little fun conversation for Steven and I to have. And she did just do a interview with Rolling Stone, and the interviewer did ask her like if it's about her ex-boyfriend that was like that's older than her as a music producer. I can't remember his name. He fucking sucks anyways from the sounds of it, so who cares. And yeah, they asked her if the song was about him, and she just kind of like laughed and said no comment, which, like, you know, says it all. But The Grudge, you guys, that's about Taylor Swift. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if I sound crazy. I don't care if you're like, well, she denied it. You know what? When there is that kind of controversy going on around a song or like a situation, you need to say point blank, so there is no confusion, no, that is not about Taylor Swift. Her and I are fine, and that's the end of it. And then I would have moved on. But she's not saying that. She said that she doesn't like give into the conspiracies. The only conspiracies that she does read are about aliens, which, like, again, so relatable. This girl is just, I think, one of Olivia Rodrigo's, if not like the most important aspect of her celebrity, is that she is just so normal and relatable. She is just like every other young girl. She just hangs out with her friends. She dates stupid guys. She writes songs about it. And then, you know, she moves on. And I love a relatable celebrity. I like the out of touch celebrities as well, but there's just something so nice about like having someone to look at and be like, oh my God, like that is the girl I went to school with. That is the girl that lives next door. That is the girl that I'm friends with, you know? Anyways, I'm getting off track. Back to Taylor Swift and The Grudge. I, like, maybe it's just, like, you know, my bias against Taylor Swift. And it probably is. And Steven would probably agree. But I wholeheartedly believe that that song is inspired by Taylor Swift. It's a song about how she held this person to like such high standards, and she like, you know, idolized this person and was just like so important. And then she kind of like, and this person just kind of like crushed her and just like made her feel less than, and just like she didn't matter and wasn't good enough. And it was like a really heartbreaking thing for her to go through. And there's one part in the song that goes kind of like, you have it all, but you still want more. And I think like that might be the lyric that like really stands out to me. Because Taylor Swift does have it all. I just think that, like, with the whole royalties situation, that I know that, like, it's not, like, them directly communicating about it to each other. It's definitely more, and Olivia Rodrigo did say this in her Rolling Stone interview, that it's definitely more team-based. So she wasn't, like, super involved. But, like, then Taylor Swift didn't get awarded a Grammy for Sour because she wasn't directly a part of the writing process. And that is also what kind of, like, led them down a slippery slope. It was just a lot of, like, in my eyes, greediness. Greediness at the end of the day. And Taylor Swift, like, she's kind of done this thing before where I don't, like, completely fault her as much as I did when it first happened. But do you guys remember when Spotify and Apple Music, like, first became a thing and Taylor Swift, like, refused to put her music on there because artists weren't really getting paid? I mean, like, they're still not really getting paid for streaming. Like, they get paid like one penny or something stupid like that. I don't fucking know. I don't know the logistics behind it all. But she just, like, refused to put her music on streaming platforms. And at the time, including myself, everyone was like, you're just money hungry. You already have so much money. Just let us listen to the songs. Like, you'd be nothing if no one listened to your music and blah, blah, blah. Like, which is true. But, like, I mean, it's her work. It's her life. It's how she makes her money. So it kind of, like, reminded me of that a little bit. But this with Olivia Rodrigo was a little more extreme. I just think the whole royalty thing was very extreme. Like, we've talked about it in abundance on the show. So if you want to hear about it, go and listen to one of our past episodes. But yeah, I think the grudge is about Taylor Swift. I love All American Bitch. I love the album. I give it an 8.5 out of 10. And I'm knocking off points because of Lacey and because Get Him Back is, like, I just don't like the way she raps. It's weird, but I do like how ambiguous it is, where it's like you either, like, want to get him back in, like, a revenge way, or, like, you want to get him back, like, as your boyfriend. Oh wait, I also love Logical. Oh my god, you guys, Logical, that is such a beautifully written song. Like, oh, it's so, so sad. And unfortunately, it's like a lot of songs that a lot of young girls can relate to. It is, I think it's, I, not my favorite. I already told you my favorite, but I think it is the best song on the album. As far as, like, production goes, lyrically, the way her voice sounds, like, oh, it just, it makes me melt. Oh, Making the Bed is also really good because I think as a 19-year-old girl, she's a very self-aware, and I love that because I was also very self-aware. I still am very self-aware. At least I try to be, and it's just, like, relatable because you're like, well, I'm making all these mistakes, and, like, I have no one to blame but myself. So I don't know. I just think that it's really cool for someone who's that young to be that self-aware. But yeah, I love that for you, Olivia Rodrigo. Like, I will always cheer this girl on, truly. Like, I will always be on her side. I mean, I know that celebrities rise and fall, but, like, I just think she's so cool, honestly, at the end of the day. All right, let's switch gears to the VMAs. I know. That the VMAs are down bad, okay? I understand. The last good VMAs I remember is, like, probably 2016 when Beyonce did her Lemonade medley. That was, like, the highlight of the show. I mean, like, obviously, but, like, that's, like, the only thing I remember from that year. And, okay, just, like, another reason the VMAs is down bad, it's always on a Sunday. And that's, like, a prime spot for any TV show. Like, 8 o'clock on a Sunday. Primetime TV. Well, the VMAs this year was on a Tuesday. And Tuesday, in my eyes, is the lamest day of the week. So that was a little bit of a blow to me. I didn't watch the entire pre-show, and thank God I didn't. That was honestly the lamest red carpet pre-show I've ever seen in my life. Why did they have Saweetie as an interviewer? That bitch was either drunk or high, or she was both, or that is just how she is. I don't know Saweetie well enough to know how she talks and interacts with people in real life, but that is not it. Like, if y'all thought Laverne Cox was a bad interviewer, Laverne Cox looks like Barbara Walt. Looks like Barbara. Why can't I say her name? Looks like Barbara Walters next to Saweetie. It is. It was like actually comical. Just like, and also just like I was getting secondhand embarrassment from watching her because she, first of all, her reading off the teleprompter, I was like, can you read like at all? And the memes just being like, that teleprompter is kicking Saweetie's ass. And oh my God, it's so true. She had to like, she would start a sentence and then she would stop in the middle and then restart the sentence. And it wasn't like she just did that once and you're like, oh, okay. You know, like it happens. It happens. Not great, but it happens. No, this happened like 3 times within like a 30-second monologue. It was so bad. And then her like interviewing people, like luckily she had this guy next to her, and forgive me, I don't know his name, and I should have remembered it because he was really great. He was really energetic. He was like very natural with everyone and just like very conversational. He was thank God she had him, because Saweetie would be reading directly off of the card in front of her and she'd be like, so what is it like to be performing for the first time at the VMAs? And then the person would answer, and then she'd just go, I know that's right. I know that's right. I know that's right. With like some hand motions. And then the person would answer, and instead of just like naturally leading into another question, she would go, okay. Who is the person you are most excited to see tonight? Like, it was just painful, you guys. And I just think that Saweetie should stick to music and not interview anyone ever again. Ever, ever again. But then we move into the actual show. And I'll tell you guys what, okay? The first hour and a half of the VMAs was actually so good. It was the first time I was like genuinely enjoying the VMAs, like since 2016. Lil Wayne opened the show. Oh my God. I didn't even know that he had new music out. But he opened up with an old song. I, for the life of me, cannot remember what it's called, but it's really popular. It always reminds me of the King of Staten Island because it's in this like the montage of like when Pete like goes to hang out with a sister at college, and then like they're at a party, and yeah, like if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. But it's an old song. It's a really popular song. I just cannot remember the name of it. And then he performed his newer song. I also don't know the name of that one. I'm really sorry, Lil Wayne. But he just had the crowd in his grip. And I was fucking here for it. And like when he first came out, he was like in a big hood and stuff, and like it was dark and there was like a lot of like smoke and stuff. I was like, who is that? My first thought, to be honest, was Justin Bieber, because I feel like that's like how he always comes out for performances now. But thank God it wasn't, okay? I was much, much more glad to see Lil Wayne. And then we moved over to Olivia Rodrigo, like right after. I was like, wow, like what a 180 here. Olivia Rodrigo did a mashup of Vampire and Get Him Back. sounded great. Vampire, she had this like weird thing happening where like the stage and everything was like collapsing, and I think that happens in the music video, so she was just like kind of trying to recreate that. But like Selena Gomez was terrified for Olivia Rodrigo. Like, I thought she was gonna jump out of her seat and like save herself, but not to worry, Selena, it was all part of the show. So that was really great. Oh my God, we had a full NSYNC reunion, like including Justin Timberlake. That was really fucking cool. I guess they have like a new song for the Trolls movie, which is like, okay, cool. But I don't know. I was really, really here for it. Nicki Minaj like was supposed to be the host, okay? And so she comes out, she does like her little introduction, and she's like, she says something like, you know, MTV called me a few days ago and they were just like concerned that I was gonna say things or like do something that like they weren't gonna be happy about. And you know, like Nicki will be fine, but like not Roman. We don't know what Ruby Red DeSleaze is gonna do. We don't know what Chun-Li is gonna do. And I was like, fuck yes, dude. Like, we are in for a show. And that was the last time we saw Nicki Minaj. And I think until she performed, I was like, aren't you the host? Like, shouldn't you be out here, like, introducing people, getting the crowd hype? Like, what's going on? I was a little confused. But, okay, yeah. I was, you know, it was kind of like Nicki does what Nicki wants, I guess. Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion fucking killed it with their new song Bongos, which, by the way, I fucking love that song. I mean, they have kind of like certified themselves as like the new people that like the new dream team, honestly, with obviously WAP and this new single Bongos. Like, oh my God, it was so good. So much ass shaking around. And as you all know, I love Cardi B's performances. I think she is a top tier performer and she does not get the recognition that she deserves. Now pair that with Megan Thee Stallion's energy. Oh my God, like out of this world. I was so into it. So cool. Who else performed? Oh, Demi Lovato did like a rock medley of some of her biggest hits, which I thought was really cool. I just think that they needed to turn up her microphone a little bit. It's kind of hard to hear her. But she fucking killed it as well. God, who else? I mean, Nicki Minaj performed, and I hadn't heard the song until then. And I was like really, really into it. Really reminded me of old Nicki. I mean, obviously it's Pink Friday too, so I'm sure she's taking inspiration from some of her old sounding songs. And then she did share like a sneak peek of another song that's gonna be on Pink Friday too, and I was really fucking here for that. God, what else happened? Oh God, how could I forget Shakira accepting the Vanguard Award? Oh my God. Okay, so she opened with She-Wolf. I do not know how this woman was bending her body in that little box. Like, the light would go out and then she would be in like another like contortionist pose, and then like the light would go out and then it would come back on and she'd like be in another pose. It was crazy. It blew my mind. She put on a fantastic performance. There was at one point she was getting like crowd served, and the way that she was like still singing, like still had the mic like fully in position, still sounding incredible. I was like, now this is a performer. With all that chaos going on around you, with all that movement, the way her body was positioned, I was like, that is fucking hard. That is really hard to do. And she pulled it off. Like I said last episode, I think that Shakira accepting the Vanguard Award was a great choice on MTV's behalf. Diddy accepted the Global Icon Award. I don't really have much to say about that. Like, it was a good performance. I didn't know Diddy could, like, dance or, like, you know, do choreography like that. It wasn't, like, anything intricate, but I just think it was funny, this, like, 50-year-old, like, you know, Bad Boys Records, you know, this, like, hard ass, was, like, doing all these little choreographed moves. And I was like, this is cool. You know, promoted a new album. His kids were out there. So his two daughters were also with him on stage dancing. His son came out twice to rap with him. That was really cool, I thought. His daughter, Mary J. Blige, reintroduced him back on stage to get the award. Gosh, I'm trying to think of, like, what else happened. Oh, I mean, Taylor Swift, like, fucking cleaned up. I was over it. Yeah, I mean, like, we already know how I'm gonna feel about that. But, like, truly, after, like, those really big performances, I was checked out. I was like, I don't know who these people are. I was having, like, a really good time for the first hour and a half, and it was going on for way too long. Yeah. So I turned it off, and that's okay. Oh, wait, I did see the next day, though, the tribute to hip-hop, and I was really excited for it because the one that they did at the Grammys was really, really great, so I was looking forward to this one. It sucked. It was awful. Why was only one person from Run DMC there? And him and LL Cool J were rapping, like, one of their biggest hits. And LL Cool J was, like, behind on the words. Like, they were just, like, yelling at each other, it sounded like. The only good thing about that was Nicki Minaj did Itty Bitty Piggy. Itty Bitty Piggy. You know what I'm talking about. I thought that was, like, a moment. But, yeah. I don't know. I was actually talking about this with my mom. And I know that my words were falling on deaf ears, but I just, like, really had to, like, get off my chest, and she was just, like, the closest person to me. I just think that the problem with the VMAs, and it has been a problem for years now, is that it's become, like, a D-list award show. It's become, like, the MTV Movie and TV Awards, or, like, a People's Choice Awards, or, like, a Teen Choice Awards. Like, it's just become, like, very mediocre. And I think that's because, well, for a few reasons, they don't hype it up the way that they used to. Like, I remember when Miley Cyrus was gonna, like, this is, like, the last time I remember it was, like, really hyped up, was when Miley Cyrus was hosting. There was commercials left and right for it on, like, every channel, it seemed like. They were constantly posting about it on social media. She was talking about it in interviews. There were so many big stars that were coming. And, like, that's also a thing, is, like, we can't just have, like, one person carrying it on their back. Like, we can't just have Taylor Swift there and, like, call it a day, you know? Like, we have to get everybody there. And then we'll have a show. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, like I said, the red carpet was lame. Like, there was no, like, fashion moments that stood out to me. Actually, maybe, like, Tinashe for, like, the wrong reasons. I don't know. If you guys haven't seen her outfit, go look it up. It is, quite something. But yeah, I'm, like, Nicki Minaj hosting this, like, really should have revived the VMAs. She should have been posting about it left and right. There should have been promo commercials. There should have been, like, teaser trailers. It should have been a thing. And it wasn't, and it was disappointing. But, yeah. So, With that said, though, will I keep tuning into the VMAs? Yeah. Yeah, because I just can't quit them. I just have a lot of good memories of them, and I'm a person who's very sentimental. Okay, let's do my toast and roast. So my roast goes to Abby Lee Miller. This woman went on like some talk show. I don't even know what it was or like why she was invited, because like who was Abby Lee Miller in this world? And she said that she is attracted to high school football players. And she made sure to specify that no, not like the high school players like I went to school with and like I still have a crush on them. Like, no, like current high schoolers, like 15-year-olds. And I was like, oh, okay, so Abby Lee Miller is a predator. Cool. She objectifies young boys. Cool. She like really made sure that we all knew that too. So that was really fucking weird. So can people believe me now that she's like definitely a scumbag? She sucks. I hate her. I think she's like, I've like only seen very, very seldom episodes of Dance Moms because that is just like not my kind of reality TV. But she's like abusive, and I don't know how she got away with that for so long. It's crazy to me. But yeah, can we like not let her get away with this? Like, this is crossing a line. This is venturing into pedophilia. So, yeah, I don't like that. Don't like that. My toast, though, goes to Robin Roberts, who got married this week to her longtime girlfriend. I just think that the pictures of them together were so sweet. They both look so incredibly happy. Robin Roberts has like been through a lot in the public eye as far as like her health goes. I think she's battled cancer, like bone cancer, I think. Don't quote me on that. I think like twice now. I also think she's just like a really great news anchor. I mean, she's been on my TV for as long as I can remember. And so seeing her really happy in these pictures and just like getting married to her wife in this like a little quiet, cute, intimate ceremony was really nice to see. And I'm really happy for her. So yeah. Yeah, this was like a little bit of a weird episode. Talking to myself for like 45 minutes is kind of weird. but hopefully Steven will be up and at him next week. but yeah, you guys know where to find us on Instagram at Poppin' Off About Pop Culture. You can stream us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Give us a like, subscribe, a follow, a 5-star rating. Anywhere you can do that. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell a stranger on the street. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys next week, hopefully with my partner in crime. Okay, bye.